I'm excited and I feel relaxed and I'm ready to party!
Welcome to the podcast of those two girls.
Here we go.
Have you noticed my nasal drip has improved? Oh God, we're on. It has. I haven't been clearing my throat anywhere near as much, have I?
I'm not even going to entertain you with a response.
Because I've been using Nasonex. Looking for show sponsors. Now, today, Lees, I have brought in 1,423 QI facts to bowl you over.
I doubt that you'll be bowling me over.
Because I...
With facts.
Facts. Do you like that elocution?
I do.
Facts.
Can we make a rule
that Sarah can never speak again?
Can we make a rule that the facts have to be shared in 12 seconds?
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Oh, that is abrasive to my ears.
And that was half time. Okay.
Right. When you're ready.
Okay. I've got a new word for you. I want you to use it today. In fact, I feel you've employed this many times.
All right. 3, 2, 1.
Muckabus means drunkenly sentimental. That's it.
You've got more time.
4 seconds.
Muckabus.
Yep, so you might cry when you're drunk. Has that happened, Lees?
No, not even.
Not even?
No, I don't think. I can't remember the last time I was actually inebriated.
I can remember the one time I drank rum and coke. Only ever had it once. Yeah. And I ended up crying in the gutter outside then City Rollers.
That was
never
a regular
again.
Occurrence
I'm not
for
a dark
you, with or without
girl.
Alcohol.
No, never. Did but you? For whatever reason, that rum is the devil's drink, and I was out the front in all my witchery finery. You know, it was probably a free drink, I accepted.
Doubt it.
Did you then?
That's why you were crying, because you weren't getting offered free drinks.
This cost me $7.
Did you then walk straight from there to here last Thursday, or...?
I used to cry. I think I did do alcohol-induced tears, but mostly like in my
attention.
Late teens. Mostly in my late teens. No, Scotty. Stuff you.
In Denmark, if you're unmarried at 25... your friends will ambush you with a cinnamon shower.
What is this book? What would a cinnamon shower do?
I don't know. I mean, cinnamon can kill you if you ingest
it.
I think they're basically saying if you're 25 and not married, die.
What? Okay, there must be. Does the book
elaborate? If someone just throws cinnamon at you,
mean something, Sarah.
I don't know, Scotty. Look it up. You've got nothing
to
do then.
You can't just read me these quotes and then not give me the meaning behind cinnamon showers.
There is a... It's like something you'd see in one of those 50 Shades things.
Mm. That reminds me, we still haven't gone to see that.
I don't want to go and see it. I'm not interested in watching soft porn with
Dendi
you,
Dendi Cooperoo, it's $7 if you go today.
$7 I'd rather spend on a rum and coke at City Rollers.
She'd rather cry sit in the gutter and cry than go and watch 50 Shades Freed with me.
Are you looking up cinnamon showers?
I was looking for LMFAO's champagne showers, but we don't have it.
Good story. While you're looking up cinnamon showers, can I tell you another fact?
Sure.
Sing Sing.
Wait, hold on.
He likes to use his time, I guess.
Sing Sing. An orangutan in Perth Zoo is highly attracted to Nicole Kidman.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. I mean, who isn't attracted to Nicole Kidman?
I would say it.
Once when we were down in Melbourne for a family holiday, we went to the zoo down there, and there was a rather large female orangutan who had a crush on my dad. I'm not even kidding.
How do you know this?
Because she would keep looking up at dad coyly and smiling at him. Our dad's like bald.
I do love primates.
We were in hysterics. Even my dad, who is a very quiet man, had tears from laughing. And we were there with my uncle, dad's brother, who was just like throwing dad under the bus. No end, as you can imagine, brothers alike. But yeah, she would just look over her shoulder and look up at him.
God. It was
the cutest thing.
They are incredible animals.
Yeah. So Nicole Kidman and my dad have got something in common. Apes go ape for them.
Do you want to know why cinnamon showers?
Yes.
Could you?
In the 16th century, Danish spice salesmen were so busy travelling around selling their wares that they had very little time for dating. And so they kind of just got a reputation as being pepper dudes who just sold spices and were going to be single for the rest of their life. Mm. So then when it appears you're going to be single for the rest of your life, you get showered in cinnamon.
Spices. That's so depressing. I mean, 25?
25? I was still crying in gutters after going to bloody...
I mean, 26, yes, but 25, no.
25 is the prime. It's prime hotness, peak prime hotness. Peak Don't hotness. Be marrying up then.
No, you've got to get out there. Get those drinks at the bars.
Get your free drinks, guys, yeah. At 25.
Peak hotness, I would say, was 26, 27. And then I got married at 28, so there you go. Tickety-boo. Off she goes with her groom. But do you want more?
No. No, I do not.
Oh, wait. Wait, this is brilliant.
Start the timer. Make it the last one.
Madagascar hissing cockroaches can either grow big horns to fight for a mate or grow big testicles for mating. They can't do both.
So they have to choose.
Choose between getting horny or getting ballsy.
It's the ultimate choose your own adventure in cockroach land.
Do you want a weapon on your head?
You know those rhinoceros beetles, not the Madagascar, the actual rhinoceros beetles.
I haven't seen one of those in years.
Well, the last time my mother saw one was when I was 2.5 years old and decided to put one in my mouth. And she turned around to see me and I smiled at her and I had two like... in my mouth, and she was like, Jesus Christ! And I used to do weird things like that all the time.
Didn't you tell me your mum thought...
I don't know what is going on.
Is this the anthem of rhinoceros beetles and... everywhere?
I don't think that was meant to play through our headphones like that. That's really weird.
Yeah.
Can you focus
on us instead of doing your other job? Would that be all right? Would that be too much to ask, Scotty, or are you still annoyed that we put that video up of you on our Instagram and Facebook yesterday?
I was just going to say that was probably the song that you guys were dancing to at Rowers together.
No, I don't think it was.
No.
That was after our time.
Really?
Dad looked so surprised.
Yeah.
Okay, let me keep looking.
No, Mum took me to a specialist because I used to do weird stuff like that. I was addicted to black. So she'd take me into a dress shop and she'd go, what colour would you like? And I'd be like, black. She was like, there's something wrong with this child. And then my sister came home from kindy and I was so jealous and violent that I was three, hid behind the kitchen door with a broom. And when my beautiful older sister, who was like an angelic child, came home going, Mommy, Lise, she walked past and I just went whack and knocked her out with the broom.
And so worked. And then Mum took me. What did the therapist say?
Mum took me to the... And my daughter only wants to wear black. She's being violent with her older sibling and she likes to put rhinoceros beetles in her mouth.
Is there a casting for Twilight, the toddler years?
It's the prequel. And the specialist
That actually
said,
sounds like some kind of character from a horror movie.
I know. I was like Damien from, you know that no. horror movie? Guys,
what?
Damien. Look it up, Scotty.
All I'm thinking right now.
It's that horror movie called, what is it?
Remy's weirdness just slipped away, didn't it?
Oh, yeah.
That's
not
even.
Talk to my mum about it. Damien, from The Omen. Don't you know that horror movie?
I don't watch horror movies.
It's the possessed child. Mm. That's what they thought I was, but it wasn't. It turned out I had a severe lack of magnesium and my eyeballs were like, ding, and severe magnesium deficiency can manifest in liking very dark, like having dark thoughts.
Wow.
Yeah.
I wonder what thoughts you were having then as a kid that you wouldn't remember now.
Well, I remember mum, like I remember being so difficult and naughty as a very young toddler that mum put me outside on the veranda and she said, you're going to sit out here in the dark with the dogs until you learn to behave. I remember that. And I was just like, in my head, I was like, suits me fine. And I sat out in the dark with our German shepherds on a big property for ages, what felt like ages. And I couldn't give a shit. I remember not giving a shit as a 2.5-year-old.
What didn't you give?
A shit. And then they gave me magnesium and then mum said from one day to the next, I turned into a normal little girl and I liked colour. I liked colour. I was nice. I didn't ingest insects. Normal.
This is an incredibly interesting story. Like, that's actually bizarre.
I'm telling you, talk to my mum. She didn't like me very much.
Wow.
For a solid 2.5-3 years.
She puts rhino beetles on her tongue to scare us.
I think my older sister Fred was scared of me.
Oh, I'm not surprised. I mean, I get scared of you now sometimes, let alone when you're a terrorising toddler.
Maybe I should still be taking magnesium.
Maybe you should. Maybe whenever you yell things in the food court like, God, I'm ovulating! Maybe that's actually... Maybe that's actually you crying out for magnesium.
That was compulsive. I couldn't help myself. I had to say that. I'm sorry to everyone who heard that, by the way. If you were in the food court of the Maya Centre on, when was that, Monday?
I don't know. It was 4 days ago. And then like 4 days later, you were like, oh, I need some naprogesic. I was like, no, that's not right. You just yelled out that you ovulated 4 days ago.
No one needs to know this, Sarah.
Then why do you tell? Why do you share?
And yet I don't know people in the food court. You're telling this to our producers. Now, Az, who's...
This is nothing. You haven't yelled out to them before either. Don't make out like you're some kind of fresh off the prairie when we all know what's going on with you at any given day. And now you need magnesium.
I'll try and get some more horror stories from my youth. I think I did other weird stuff too.
So you just hit Fred with a broom.
Knocked her clean out.
It still upsets me that you say that with such a level of pride.
I do remember just feeling very upset that she had had a whole day at kindy and I was like, I'm going to get you. I'm going to get you. You're going to walk in happy and then I'm going to knock you out.
I gave my middle sister a blood nose once. She, she was a brat, really. Middle child. She deserved it. And... we were fighting and she kicked me in the chest.
And winded
And
you.
It was the first time I was winded.
That
and
is scary.
It's terrifying when you're winded. And so I collapsed like. I mean, I was 4 years older than her too. And she has legs like a little chicken. So you can imagine that when
it
she's
didn't
winded
take
me.
Much.
And then she looked at me with all her like 8 year old, she was 8 or 9, 8 year old attitude and was like, get up, you wuss.
Yes!
I love the younger siblings.
And I can
siblings.
Still feel it happen in slow-mo. And my hand turned backhand and I just went,
the rage.
And connected with her nose and her little face. She grabbed her nose and went, blood. Everyone, I was still like,
How long until you started freaking out about the amount of trouble you're getting?
And she was like, you've given your sister a blood nose. I hope you're happy with yourself. Oh, yeah. It happened on Boxing Day. So we all, Rach and I always laugh about it now, saying Boxing Day has special memories for us.
Do you remember what you were fighting over?
Not a clue.
Of course not.
Not a clue. Just that she and I clashed a lot because there was 4 years between us. And she was a real tomboy and sporty, liked black, used to eat beetles. And then I was, liking colour. I was a normal child who liked colour.
Maybe that's why I would happily eat beetles on the side of a Thai road when I went to Thailand.
Well, that video with Nicole Kidman eating crickets.
That didn't bother me
a bit. No, you were fine.
Didn't bug me one bit.
You know, I was never allowed to wear black growing up.
I wasn't allowed to wear it either. I just wanted it. Mum didn't let me wear black. I was 2 and a half.
But even when I was a teenager, Mum was very much like, that's an adult colour. You can wear that when you're an adult.
An adult colour.
Yes, because it's not nice to see kids wearing black. I agree. I don't buy my boys anything black.
No, I don't buy my girls anything black either.
I'll do navy. I'll allow navy.
Navy's
fine. Because navy blue is a nice sort of classy. I like Remy and his navy blue chinos.
A grey is fine. A nice marl.
A grey marl.
A purple, a deep purple.
I never also did pink and purple. Mm-mm-mm. No.
Why not?
I don't like it. I'm not a colourful person.
Because Beatles were black and they clashed with pink T-shirts.
Did you feel like your childhood was spent proving to everyone you weren't your sister?
I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was a divine child. There's photos of her, like, in...
Wearing pink and purple?
Yes, wearing pink and purple, laying in, like, tall grasses with, like, this angelic little face.
And, like, Lee standing behind her,
like the Omen.
You are actually right. So you know how I did ballroom dancing growing up?
Really?
And
did
dancing,
you?
I did. Well, I was
if she's told me once, she's told me 30.
Well, other people don't know.
They do. I'm pretty sure a lot of people know. Yeah. Just comment in the podcast notes if you already knew that Sarah did ballroom dancing.
Anyway, so Mum tried to get Rach to do ballroom dancing. Took her along to the lesson. Rach just arms and legs on the door frame, could not move her in.
Just didn't want to do it.
Held on to the door frame with such grip. Mum tried to like push her back to break the hold, but she wouldn't. She just wouldn't go in because again, that's a Sarah activity, and I don't do that. So I feel like there's so many parallels between you and
there's
Fred
something in it.
And me and Rach. And then because I've got a third sister, I mean, nobody sort of cared what she did.
All right, let's play your podcast then.
Right.
All right. Enjoy, guys.
Wait, one more fact.
No.
I don't have my timer up anymore.
Burglars always knock on the door before breaking into a house.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yep.
How did they quantify that? Always. This is nonsense.
So houses in Vermont have windows that are slanted diagonally to stop witches getting in.
All right, we gotta go. Bye.
I've got more.
You're listening
to Those Two Girls. Happy Hump Day, Australia.
Hello, guys. It is Wednesday. It is Hump Day. But you know what, Sarah? This is what I love about you and I. We don't let Hump Day get in the way.
Oh, no. We make it our own.
We make it our own because it is...
Camels of the world. Spice up your life. Every hump and every whore. Spice up your life.
Wait for it.
That's the camel noise that signifies the beginning of hump day here at Those Two Girls.
Such a graceful beast. Now, if you love camels, you may not love them as much as a Kiwi lass called Chloe, who's returned from her first time leading an expedition involving camels. Now, she took a team of 8, a mixture of Kiwis, Aussies, and 1 American. They rode camels, 2 humped camels.
Bactrian camels.
Don't make out like you know that.
I know my camels, Sarah. We've been doing camels of the world.
It's on the sheet of paper in front of you. Don't be like, Bactrian camels. No, you've never seen that word before in your life, Sarah, until this morning.
Sarah, we've been doing camels of the world for a solid 4 or 5 weeks. I know the difference between a Bactrian camel and a one-humped camel.
Well, what's the one-humped camel called?
A dromedary, I think.
I don't think so. Anyway.
What has this girl done?
She took them on a trek. They rode camels in minus 40 degree temperatures 300 kilometres across the Gobi Desert in Mongolia.
But more interestingly, she snowboarded behind one. Uh-huh. That's the thing, guys. You can now snowboard behind a camel. It's the new sort of, adrenaline-pumping sport.
Get off the Bactrian's back. And snowboard behind it.
I love it. I mean, imagine that camel. That camel would have been like the hipster camel of the pack. Like the snowboarding cool surfer type camel.
Yeah, it was like the Mick Fanning of the the 8-pack
camel. Well, who's a famous snowboarder, Scotty?
I don't know.
Come on.
Did you watch the Winter Olympics?
I do know that a one-humped camel is called a dromedary.
I was right.
Well,
kiss my feet, Sarah. Kiss at the feet of the camel goddess.
Yeah, folks, we want to talk about digital addiction in kids because there's a new boot camp that's available on the Gold Coast for technology-addicted teens, and they're being sent there to kick their social media and gaming habits, and it's run by ex-military men and women.
Yeah, look, it runs for 9 days and costs $4,000.
Mm-hmm. But basically the whole purpose of it is to build physical and mental resilience to help high school kids step out of the virtual world and back into reality, because they've got their faces in a screen and it's impacting their life and obviously their family's lives too. If mum and dad are prepared to stump up $4,000 to send them away for more than a week to try and kick the habit. What do you reckon, Lise?
Yeah, look, I mean, I know that digital addiction is absolutely a thing. It's not a manufactured addiction. We know adults that are addicted to their devices. So I think that there absolutely is a place for digital detox. I'm still at the point where I'm wondering, is $4,000 a lot of money for it, or is it the best investment you'll ever make as a parent?
Well, yes, and I'll play devil's advocate. Is sending someone, you know, paying someone $4,000 to fix a problem outsourcing parenting? Do parents just need to crack down and take the devices away?
What do they do?
Well, they take, so as soon as they board the bus, they take every single device off the kids. I mean, That's a pretty simple step, yes. And then I think they run them through drills related to self-confidence, behaviour.
Well, they basically treat them like they're temporary army cadets. So they polish boots, they're put through fitness routines, they learn coping mechanisms with real-life obstacles, because we know the stuff that is happening on social media is, in some cases, terrible. And it's undermining kids' self-confidence, and I guess it's making them question their whole identity as they go through those formative teenage years.
Both of you are parents. Mm. At what point in your kids' lives would you say, I need to send them on a digital detox? What would need to happen for you to think that?
I think if your child is struggling with basic human interaction, that is an issue. If they are more interested in screens than having a face-to-face conversation, that would be a massive red flag for me, because I would always want my kids to choose human interaction over device interaction. And if they're making the wrong choice there, I'd be putting my hand up to be like, I've either got to do something, or if I don't have the skills or resources to do it myself. Because the thing is, we are living this in this technology world. I mean, we're okay at tech, but we haven't been raised with tech.
And our we're not kids digital have. Natives.
So do we have the skills to navigate this as parents? I don't know.
Is $4,000... I don't know, because, Lise, you and I aren't in that position yet. Like, I take a very hard line in theory. I'm not going to give my child a phone and access to data until they are in their teenage years. Mm-hmm. That's my position. I've told my daughter's friends' parents that as well. I've told my daughter, don't ask me, you're not getting one. But at the same time, my girls are nearly 7 and 4, and there's a long way to go. And I do want to learn from the parents who are currently, you know, forging ahead here and leading the way for us, Lise, when we get there.
You know what I kind of liken it to? It's like when you're pregnant, and you go, when my baby's born, I'm never going to rock them to sleep. Yes. When my baby's born, I'm just going to take them to cafes. Yeah. And they're just going to fit in with my life. This is the same thing to me. Yeah. Until you are in that position with a tech-addicted teen, we cannot throw stones.
No, we can't.
So let's put it out there, sir.
All right. Okay, folks. Let's hear from you. We want to chat with you on 131060. Would you send your kids off to digital boot camp, or is this a parenting issue? Do parents need to parent harder?
Digital detox boot camp. Give us your thoughts, guys. We would love to chat with you about this.
Super keen.
131060. Would you send your kids to the digital boot camp?
Exclusively for the podcast, Liliane, we want to hear from you. What are your thoughts on a digital detox boot camp for teens?
I think if it's gone too far, it could be a good idea, but I think $4,000 is a lot of money.
Do you reckon there has to be... Hi, Liliana, it's Sarah. Do you reckon there has to be a turning point, though, where parents are so desperate to see a change in their kids' behaviour around digital activity, though, that they're just like, I will throw money at whatever it takes to make it better?
I've got a 15-year-old and a 13-year-old and a 9-year-old, and my kids weren't allowed to have phones or... until they were 13. So my son's only recently got one.
Yeah.
But my 15-year-old, one of her friends, girlfriend just committed suicide a few weeks ago. So I think it's really important that parents get on top of it, because that's what can happen from all sorts of things happening on, you know,
social media.
Yeah, kids say to each other on little direct messages and whatever.
Yeah, it's terrifying.
Liliana, yeah, what was going on with the friend's daughter in regards to social media?
Well, I actually don't know exactly, but she seemed absolutely fine, apparently, and really happy and everything, and then she wasn't. So you can only put it down to that, really.
I mean, it's just so terrifying.
They don't, hi Liliana, it's Lise. They don't. It seems that kids just don't have the coping mechanisms for all of that stuff. That's right.
They're not communicating verbally and face-to-face with each other, even as friends. Like, instead of talking to each other face-to-face, they message each other.
They're having virtual conversations. It's just not the same thing, is it?
It's so different.
Yeah.
I mean, I'd like to crawl under a rock and just make the whole thing go away, really, but it's just not.
I mean, I think the boot camp is an option for parents, and I think in this day and age, we need options. So it may be, I think $4,000 is a lot of money, but at least there's something on offer
where
for parents
think
who,
they can do something.
Yeah, who have reached a point of really needing to outsource. I get it.
Yeah. Thanks, Liliana. Hey, Matt on 131060, what do you think about a digital detox boot camp for teenagers?
If parents can afford that, that's $4,000. That's a big hefty fee for a 9-day boot camp. What they're basically doing is detoxing those kids and getting them off those that addiction, which is totally and absolutely an addiction.
Mm-hmm.
Being on those games, social media, and anything else that smorgasbord of the internet has to offer.
Mm.
The longer it goes on, you know, kids have access to this 24/7.
Yeah, it's hard for them to get away from it. Hey, Matt, do you have kids?
I do. I have adult kids and I have grandkids. My grandkids, the eldest is 8 year old, youngest is 6.
Mm.
They know their way around this technology.
Samsung, yeah.
Android, whatever. They know their way around it. Parents, some parents use those that technology as a babysitter.
Totally.
And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing, because these kids, they lack the art of conversation.
Yes.
And it is truly an art. The basic parenting skills of today, sadly, relies heavily on technology to take care of their kids while I'm on the phone myself.
Totally agree with you, Matt.
Hey, Sean on 131060. What do you think? Would you send kids off to a digital boot camp?
Good morning. Yes, I would. But in also saying that, there's no guarantee that they would be completely recovered from that addiction.
Mm-hmm. Have you got kids, Sean?
I've got 5 kids.
Wow. So you're an expert in this field. Sean,
my eldest boy didn't get his mobile phone until he was about 16, he's now 20.
Mm-hmm.
And then my younger kids, they don't have any technology, only what we have at home.
So what do you have at home then? What are they allowed to access?
We've got a tablet and I've got my work phone, and they can access certain things, mainly learning stuff on the tablet, but only while we're supervising.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're very vigilant with what access they have to devices, and it's in your presence pretty much.
Yeah, so long as it's in our presence, and they've got the study ladder on the PC, which is part of the school, but I don't mind them using that so long as they've got supervision. But in saying that, we've got friends who have kids as well, and they're all face in the screen, no matter what.
Oh, it's a common thing. You just see kids with their faces in screens all the time. Let's go to Sue on 131060. Would you send your kids to a digital detox boot camp, Sue?
Oh, I would do it right now.
Okay, you sound very passionate. Yep. So you've got a 16-year-old,
and no matter how much I enforce it, like no phones at the dinner table, blah blah blah. They're always on it. Either the earphones are plugged in, or they're in their room, or even simple duties like, can you please hang out the washing? Yeah, I'll do it. But she's standing outside with the phone in her face for the last 2 hours.
Do you think this boot camp would help you get your kids out of the virtual world and into reality? Do you think they can do it?
I think so, because it's been enforced by someone else. As a mum, it's, who cares? Do you know what I mean?
You think your voice just ends up sounding like white noise in the background?
Absolutely.
Have you tried removing the devices and what effect has that had?
It's really difficult with 16-year-olds. You can only push them so far before sometimes the argument's not worth it.
Yeah.
So you give in because you've been at work all day, you're exhausted. I know that's no excuse. But for the sake of peace, sometimes it's easier to pick and choose your battle.
Yeah.
Well, that's very honest of you.
And I think this is what we're wanting to hear from, because, Lise, as you and I said, our eldest children are 8 and nearly 7, and we have all these theories about how we want to handle digital and devices as they get older. But, again, it's very different in theory and in practice. So we are wanting to hear from the parents who are living this as their reality right now. Hey, Nicole on 131060, would you send your child off to a digital detox boot camp?
I certainly wouldn't have. My son did that same course nearly 2 years ago.
Wow. Okay, so he's been to the exact detox boot camp that we're talking about, Nicole.
The one in Queensland, Virgins for Youth.
Okay, now it cost $4,000, Nicole, so that's not cheap. I imagine that there must have been some kind of turning point in your relationship with your son where you thought, this is a problem that's bigger than I can handle. And when was that turning point?
When I noticed changes in his personality after he'd been on certain games and technology.
Mm-hmm.
He would act out. Sometimes be a bit violent towards his sister, his younger sister.
Yeah.
Nicole, how old was he when you sent him on to this boot camp?
He was actually only 11.
Yeah,
almost
right.
Almost 12. I think he was a little bit too young for it. Because he was in with, up to 15, 16, 17-year-olds.
So take us to the point, Nicole, where he returns home from the boot camp. What changes did you see in him, and do you think the boot camp worked?
The biggest change that I saw in my son was probably he could look you in the eye.
Okay.
Look you in the eye and have a little bit more respect. It probably lasted for about 3 months because I felt that it was unsustainable.
And how was it unsustainable, Nicole? Because, we know these devices are kind of the remote control to all of our lives. We've all got phones and iPads. How did that manifest in your household?
Because he had to use them for school.
Yeah. See, so this is the thing. Do you agree, Nicole, that it's like food addiction, right? Like you can't escape technology the same way you can't escape food, and people with food addictions or disorders, it's the same thing, I think. The kids are faced with these technology devices at school. They need them to catch the bus or what have you. There's no escape. So how is it sustainable? I agree.
Yeah, and now he's in high school and all his textbooks are on his iPad. So he's on it from the sort of sometimes I catch him in the bathroom.
So, Nicole,
40 minutes on the toilet with his iPad.
So, Nicole, Lise and I our kids aren't as old as yours yet. What advice would you give to us and any other parents listening who have children who aren't at the age for owning digital, devices with data on them yet?
Well, I don't think you can totally ban it, but, of course, there have to be limitations to it. If I had my choice, like my son was using computers at daycare, so he could navigate around a computer at the age of 2.
Yeah, wow.
And it's everywhere. It's normal society today. Like, I'm talking to you on a smartphone.
Yeah, yeah.
It's everywhere. But, it is a big concern. And now I've heard that it's now considered a mental health issue, the addiction.
So, Nicole, knowing what you know now, was the $4,000 investment in the digital detox boot camp you sent your son to worth it? Or would you not send him again if you had your time over?
I think it was worth it, but there needs to be follow-up. And they introduced the same program, then introduced a parents program in your own state. Like, I'm in New South Wales, so I had to send him to Queensland. So it cost me a lot more than $4,000.
Yeah.
Mm. And then for us to fly up for, they have a graduation ceremony at the end of it. So for us to all fly up, the rest of the family to fly up for the graduation, so that was an additional cost.
Very expensive.
Look, I mean, it takes a village. We're all in this together. It's new territory. And thank you to everyone who shared their stories with
absolutely.
Us today.
Absolutely. God, a lot for us to think about, Sarah.
Yeah.
You're listening to Those Two Girls.
Sarah, get a piece of this. Oprah Winfrey, the queen of all queens, love her to bits, has come out in an E! Interview saying that she has not filled up her own car with petrol, nor has she gone to a bank since 1988. 1988.
Really?
She has not done these things for herself. So people are outraged and saying, oh my gosh, she's so out of touch with reality. First of all, I think it's amazing that she's that honest. Secondly, I wouldn't be doing either of those things if I didn't have to either.
I mean, who wants to stand in a bank line?
Well, get this. She said last year when she was on the Ellen DeGeneres show, she actually said, she told her, you know, she hadn't been to a bank in 20 years. And her quote was, I just wanted to go there just to do it. I stood in line just to do it. It felt fantastic.
Right. Yeah, novelty. Sure. Everyone else is like, Oprah, come on. Dreaming.
I mean, it just got me thinking. She also said, though, that she doesn't answer the phone at home. Oh, she has someone to do it for her.
Well, I don't answer my home phone either, but
I don't have anyone
to do it for me. Sometimes I put my four-year-old on if it rings, and she's got a lisp, so I figure if it's no one important, they'll hang up.
Yes, that would be a wise idea. I mean, it just got me thinking, though, like, what are some things that you still don't do as an adult?
Like things I hate doing, or I
just that you're incapable
struggle.
Of doing possibly.
Well, I would say I don't clean my air conditioner filters, much to my husband's chagrin. But I hate that job.
Is there something you don't know how to do?
I don't know how to put it back in the air conditioner.
Okay.
There's one. We have a few air cons throughout the house, and there's one of them that just is so fiddly, and I end up having an adult tantrum trying to get it back in. It's just not worth the hassle.
Yeah, well, I mean, I am going to admit here on national radio that I do not know how to light a barbecue at the age of 38. I do not do it, Sarah. I don't actually know how to do it. So I get my husband, Dane, to do it, or I get my 8-year-old son to do it.
Well, similarly,
he knows how to do it.
I've never had a gas stove. That kind of scares me.
Yeah, I'm scared I'm going to blow up every time. I'm like, I'm not touching that, but come on, Remy, you can do it safely. But he's
very. Are you kidding? Do you get Remy on the barbecue?
I absolutely get him on the barbecue. That's fine. I'm happy with that. I think that's perfectly okay. I wish he would teach me.
Except for the fact that you just implied you don't trust yourself to not blow up, but you get him to do it.
That an 8-year-old can light a barbecue better than you.
I trust his ability over mine when it comes to gas barbecues. I just feel like it's something that I've missed out entirely. As an adult, no one has shown me how to do this, guys. Don't look at me like that. I'm being honest, like Oprah. I am Oprah. Essentially, I am Oprah. She also said that she didn't know how to put fuel in her car. I am saying I do not know how to light a barbecue.
I think Oprah's saying she chooses not to put petrol in her car.
No. She says, I don't. I gotta say, I wouldn't know what to do. Well, I can say that. I got to say, I wouldn't know what to do.
I like if I just stay quiet enough when we do these things that you end up.
Because
just,
I feel like you're judging me.
Here we go.
I feel that you are. Do you light a barbecue, Sarah?
No, we don't really use our barbecue though, but I could.
I don't think you could. I think you say that and you would come towards
really?
Those.
Really? Do you want to have a barbecue light off?
Yes, I think you would be faced with those knobs. You would not know what to do.
What I love is you just said 2 minutes ago, I am Oprah. Those words came out of your mouth. I mean, the ego of a Weber barbecue. Lise, I've heard this story and I haven't stopped shaking in fear.
It's a nightmare,
isn't it?
It
is my absolute nightmare. Folks, over in WA, the Rottnest Channel swim was held over the weekend. And there was a swimmer, a guy called Eli, who did butterfly for 19 kilometres.
Sarah, I can't do butterfly for 19 metres.
I look like a sick dolphin. I can't even get my upper body out of the water.
It's the most just intense stroke. It's the most energy sapping stroke there is.
And he did it for 19Ks. Now, that's not what's terrifying me. Apparently, the fact that he was doing butterfly and his head was underwater, you know, for two of the three strokes, I'm doing it right now, as you can hear my exertion, meant that he saw the great white shark that was under him.
Yes, there was a 4-metre great white swimming below Eli Ball as he was attempting to complete
12 kilometres into the race. He'd done 12 Ks of butterfly, saw the shark, popped his head up and said, "Hola, there's a shark over here."
Didn't get out of the water, though.
Didn't get out of the water. I mean, I can't even swim in a pool by myself for a certain period of time without hearing the Jaws music in my head. Stayed in the shark-infested waters of WA.
He asked the skipper of his support boat, because, you know, they always have to have one of those boats beside those long-distance swimmers. He asked the skipper to rev the engine a little bit to scare away the shark. I mean, look, nothing happened to him.
But 100 other swimmers got out of the water.
Not
okay, I don't know if old mate Eli is very brave or very silly, but he went on to win the race in 7 hours and 20 minutes and broke the record. I tell you what, if I'd seen a great white, maybe my butterfly would have got a hell of a bit better as well.
I mean,
I'd just have a heart attack. I often think if I saw a shark pop up beside me in the water, I'd just be dead meat.
Sarah,
I'd be gone.
It's one of my great dreams for this show to put you in a shark cage.
No.
And drop you in the ocean beside a boat. I reckon it would be the best. I think it would be a life-changing moment for
you. I actually think that would be the end of our friendship.
I don't think it would
be.
I don't think it would be. I think if we did it together, it would be one of those revelatory moments where you just go, oh
my
God.
I'd get very violent.
No, you'd be fine.
It's
like people skydiving, Sarah. They're like saying, no, they're crying before they get pushed out of the plane, and then they're like, that's the best thing I ever did.
I would skydive over going in a shark cage.
Excellent. Book it in, Scotty.
In a heartbeat. Nothing with three rows of teeth and a dorsal fin is in the sky.
But a shark cage, nothing would happen to you ever. You are perfectly safe.
Hello, there's a movie that's out at the Blockbuster Video at the moment, the video machines at the moment, about a cage that falls to the bottom of the ocean.
Sarah, that has never happened.
It is. I've seen all the Jaws movies. I know what they're capable of. I know that they're capable of leaping out of the water and pulling a helicopter back down into it.
Oh, my God.
Okay?
That's Sharknado, Sarah. That is not true.
No, that was Jaws 2. We watched that in a water when I was way too young and it was too scary.
I went scuba diving in Thailand with whale sharks.
Oh!
With
whale sharks,
guys.
Are you all there?
Yes.
Whale sharks don't eat people.
It doesn't.
Whale sharks are like the Labradors of the sea.
Okay, well, let's
take
you to Thailand.
Come back with a tiger shark
or
a bull shark.
Let's take you to PP Island and I'll put you in with the whale shark.
I'm fine with a whale shark.
I'm even fine with
a black tip reef shark.
You are not.
But old mate Eli.
Oh, you're a pest.
Can we let the breakfast show come in now?
False bravado with whale sharks. She
we need some suspense music for the brekkie show. All right, have a good hump day, guys.
See you guys.
Bye.
Well, that was a podcast of Those Two Girls.